This morning's event is about the Aguna crisis generally, but it's being held, being sponsored by the Beth Din of America. And if there is one perspective that is offered uniquely by the Beth Din of America to this problem, it is the prenuptial agreement. What's been called the RCA prenup or the BDA prenup or Rabbi Willig's prenup, the prenuptial agreement that we are talking about this morning. Rabbi Willig, who's the author of that agreement, we'll be speaking next about some of the halakhic bases or issues regarding that. But before he does, I'd like to just take a few minutes to explain what the agreement is, what it does, and a little bit about its adoption in our community to date and the steps that we're taking to try to increase its acceptance among people who are getting married. So first, what is the prenup? It's an agreement that's signed by a man and woman who are contemplating marriage, who are engaged to be married. And by signing the document, the couple is agreeing essentially to two things. Number one, they agree that in the event their marriage is on the course to divorce, they will appear, or each one agrees that he or she will appear before the Beth Din of America at the demand of the other party. That's number one. The second provision is that the husband's existing obligation under Jewish law to provide support for his wife is formalized, is concretized in the following manner. If at any point the husband ceases to live together as a married couple, the husband is obligated to pay her $150 per day for every day that they remain married under Jewish law, which means until the get is given. The wife can collect that amount, any portion of that amount that accrues after she gives formal notice to the husband that she's interested in collecting the sum. So in other words, if the couple is separated and the husband is not giving his wife a get, he's on the hook for $150 a day, which translates to about $4,500 a month or about $50,000 a year, until the get is given. And the amount is indexed to inflation, which means that if the cost of living goes up during their marriage, the $150 a day obligation rises accordingly. So to review, we're talking about two provisions. One, that they need to show up at the Beth Din, upon the demand of the other party, and two, that the support obligation is concretized in a way that costs the husband money for so long as the marriage endures under Jewish law. This prenuptial agreement, it was developed in the early 1990s, and in 1993 and in 1994 and again in 1998, the Rabbinical Council of America adopted resolutions that encouraged its member rabbis to encourage the use of the prenuptial agreement. And then in 2006, the RCA adopted a resolution that encouraged or that called for its members not to perform weddings unless the prenuptial agreement was in place. A few months ago, at the end of 2009, the Beth Din of America conducted a survey of RCA members as well as rabbis of shuls affiliated with the Orthodox Union to try to get a sense of to what extent the prenuptial agreement is being put in place, is being encouraged or required by rabbis. We know that it is to a very large extent in place because, as a practical matter, cases come to us and very often there's a prenuptial agreement. And as a practical matter, the prenuptial agreement works because when those cases go through, it's just a much smoother process and a get is inevitably given in a timely fashion in those cases. But we wanted to get a little bit of a better sense of to what extent rabbis are actually requiring or encouraging its use. And of the rabbis surveyed, we collected 450 responses. Close to 300 of those rabbis indicated that they regularly perform weddings. So we're talking now about a sample group of 300 rabbis. And of those, over 200 indicated that when they perform weddings, they either encourage the use of the prenuptial agreement or require its use in order for them to perform the wedding. Now, it's important to point out that the results are slightly biased towards advocacy of the prenuptial agreement because the rabbis who encourage or require the use of the prenuptial agreement are more likely to respond to our survey about the prenuptial agreement. They're probably more excited about such a survey. But at the very least, the results indicate that there are over 200 rabbis out there in the field performing weddings on a regular basis who are either advocating or requiring the use of the prenuptial agreement. That is an encouraging statistic. Another interesting result from the survey is what it revealed about rabbis who don't advocate or require the use of the prenuptial agreement. Over 50% of the rabbis who were surveyed who indicated that they perform weddings but do not advocate or require the use of the prenuptial agreement, over 50% of those indicated that they didn't advocate or require the use of the prenup either because they just didn't, but no particular reason, or because they didn't know enough about the agreement, or because they didn't think it was effective in real cases. Now that's encouraging, because it means that there's an opportunity to make the use of the agreement more widespread through additional efforts at educating the rabbinate about the prenup, about what it does, and about its effectiveness. That's something that we have done consistently over the past 15 years, and it's something that we'll continue to do, and that we need to ramp up and continue to do in order to make sure that this agreement is adopted and signed by more and more couples who are getting married. I'd like to discuss just one more item before I introduce Rabbi Willig, and that is that in addition to efforts over the past 15 years directed towards the rabbinate, we've also directed educational efforts towards young people who are ultimately going to get married, so that when it comes time for them to get married, they will ultimately sign the prenup. Now that's important, first of all, because when a rabbi turns to a young couple and encourages them to sign a prenup, if they've been primed and educated about its effectiveness, they're more likely to sign it. But even more importantly, perhaps, it's because if we can get young people encouraged or motivated to join this movement of signing the prenup, it's possible that even those young people who go on to get married by rabbanim who when they are misadir kedushin at weddings, don't themselves advocate the prenup, perhaps the young people themselves can encourage the rabbis to adopt it, and that will help the agreement become more widespread. And to this end, we've recently begun to try to think about ways to raise awareness about the prenup among that population. For the past few months, we've been arranging lectures on college campuses about the prenuptial agreement and its importance and why it's important for you, young college students, to sign it when it comes time to get married. We're also, I'm happy to report, very close to launching a new website that will be dedicated exclusively to providing information about the prenuptial agreement. It'll be up in a few weeks, hopefully, at www.theprenup.org. And aside from being an easy way to access forms and necessary forms for the prenuptial agreement, the goal of the site is to attractively present the case for the prenup in a clear and cogent and attractive way. We're also planning a Facebook group that will link to the site, so we'll try to jump on the bandwagon of using social networking tools to try to encourage the use of the prenuptial agreement. And the site obviously will also provide resources to rabbis and other interested people on halachic bases. It'll have audio, etc., to talk about the prenuptial agreement.